It's Inside Out. I'm Damon, and with me are Emma and Kathleen. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there. Give Ben a job. Hashtag. Can either of you give Ben a job?
Not personally.
No. Why are we talking about this? Because in the Telegraph were reporting yesterday about a Twitter campaign to get Ben Small from Liverpool a job. He has Down syndrome, and his stepmum put out a plea saying she really wanted to get him a job. And he's found one. Where's he found a job?
Wilson's Kitchen in Liverpool. It's a Saturday job, and there's a school for kids with autism that's also looking at offering him some more hours as well. He'd had some internships before. He's got an NVQ in catering, and he'd had some unpaid internships in restaurants previously, some chains, but he'd never had any paid work. And I think his mom just got a bit upset about the fact that nobody would give him any paid employment. So she did what many people do nowadays, and she did put out a Twitter plea, and then comedians came and tweeted about it, and Boothby Graffo, is that his name? Mm-hmm. And Jason Manford did as well. And, you know, it's not the first sort of social media campaign that a parent has done for their child, or he's not a child, he's 26, but for their son or daughter with Down syndrome or with another learning disability. We've had Facebook campaigns, send my son a Christmas card, he doesn't get any, or send him a birthday card, he doesn't get any, that kind of thing. But I think this one was probably a little bit more practical and a little bit more of a long, had a bit of a more of a long term use, and is more helpful to him than some of the others, although some of the others had huge responses and had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cards.
Well, this one as well, this one really blew up. It wasn't just one or two job offers. I saw his stepmom tweeted, "You wait 9 years for a job and then 30 come along at once." So people were really coming forward and saying, "Yes, we will give Ben a job." But why wasn't Ben getting a job in the first place? He had all the experience. Why did it take a Twitter campaign and celebrities, famous people tweeting?
Yeah. And by all accounts, his first day was a roaring success. The cafe tweeted about it and said that their cafe had been really busy, he'd worked really well, and that everyone was delighted and they were really happy with him.
People find it really hard to understand how workers with learning difficulties or disabilities, however we're saying it this week, can fit in to their work. And previously, we've mentioned it before, the three Fs. Flowers, filth and food are the things that, the kind of jobs that are usually associated with people with learning difficulties. And he's got an MVQ in catering. So that's an amazing thing. And we hear that, you know, people with learning difficulties are very good at focusing on and perfecting those little things. Whereas people who perhaps don't have learning disabilities get a bit bored of those jobs.
Yes, I loved it when Tracy Abbott was on the podcast. It was a couple of months ago now. And she was telling us about this scheme where it was Norfolk and Norwich University Hospitals, and they were running a scheme where they employed people with learning disabilities to have a number of different roles around the hospital. And one of the roles was to carry the equipment tray for surgeons and pass the equipment to the surgeons during operations. And they would give the people with learning disabilities photographs of the equipment, and they would prepare the tray based on these photographs and then hand the surgeon the equipment as and when they needed it. And I can remember she said something like, whilst other people would get bored with this, they found that actually people with learning disabilities were quite pedantic. They really enjoyed the job. They enjoyed the repetitive nature of it. And surgeons were actually requesting these people, saying that they were better than the other people that they'd had in the past.
Obviously, all people with learning disabilities are different, and I'm sure there are plenty who are completely unfocused, like myself. And Kathleen, who's Tracy Abbott? Remind me.
Tracy's from the Business Disability Forum.
Ah, yes.
So that's interesting that the hospital example is one more example. And this really interests me, going beyond that FFF thing. You know, what can people with learning disabilities do? I was really pleased when I heard that the BBC employed a runner up in Salford who had Down syndrome. And she was sending out emails on the list, wasn't she? She was saying, are there any other people with Down syndrome who work at the BBC? And that was really, because a runner, you can totally see how that's a job that someone with learning disabilities can do, you know. They have their messages, they have they need to take things from A to B, and they can do that absolutely adequately. However, a runner is often a job that someone, it's one of the lowest jobs within media, and it's a job that people often use to try and catapult themselves higher up the ladder, isn't it? They get in that way.
You can get in. It's quite often seen as an entry level, isn't it?
Yeah. So I wonder how many people with learning disabilities would be able to get those roles, even though they're really well suited.
Well, you say well suited, but then I think we're getting to the stage now where people are seeing that people with learning disabilities can do any kind of work. So Kate's video that we had on Ouch about Oliver Hellowell, who had Down syndrome, and he's a photographer. I actually saw yesterday that he's going to be on The One Show tonight.
Excellent.
Fame from Ouch.
Fantastic. And we've had
And he's doing incredibly well. His photographs are beautiful. He's got a book deal.
Has he?
Yeah. So it's not just that repetitive kind of work. That's a very creative job.
But networking is very interesting. Wouldn't it be great if you could just put something out on Twitter and get a job like that? Just loads of job offers.
I think the thing with networking, and networking can be a really informal or an informal thing. And even when it comes down to really straightforward jobs when you're a teenager, like Saturday jobs and holiday jobs, that the networking thing can be the most important thing, because oftentimes you'll get a job in a pub or in a cafe because of someone your mum knows or someone you know, or you've just run around with your CV and you've just said, look, you know, you've proven over the years in the community or whatever that you've been quite a good person and you've done, you know, reasonably well. So therefore the local guy is going to give you a job, whereas for disabled people it's not as easy. First of all, you might have been away at school, so you might not know anybody in your community. And second of all, there's a lot of the Saturday jobs that teenagers and young people do, disabled people, or a lot of disabled people, can't do.
Yeah, I feel like I'm missing a layer of skin, really, because I wasn't able to do those kind of early, you know, pound in pocket Saturday morning jobs. You know, I couldn't sit on a till at Sainsbury.
Yeah, they're often very practical, aren't they?
Those kind of things. So as a blind person, that was a bit of an issue. So what you find, actually, certainly for me as a blind person, is that to get any kind of job, you can't go in to those entry-level jobs because of the lack of access to them. You have to be pretty well skilled up and to have a good network of people going on before you can land your first job. So it takes longer. Yeah. And you need better, you know, you need better experience.
Because even summer jobs when you're at university, even jobs relating to what you want to do are very hard because of just what you've said. If you're going to be in media and you want to get in media, usually what you would do in the summers or just after university is be a runner or the tea maker or something like that. And that's, I mean, I struggle to make tea in my own office now, you know, and that's the kind of thing you're expected to do first. Whereas when you've got a disability like blindness and other disabilities too, as you say, Damon, you end up having to come in sort of a little bit up the ladder, and that's really hard.
Did you do a Saturday job, Kathleen?
I did, yeah. So I didn't become disabled until I was 18. And for about 3 or 4 years when I was at school, I worked in a cafe. And then I had my legs amputated at 18, so I couldn't have therefore then done that kind of job afterwards. So when I was at university, my part-time job was admin. And that was really the only thing that I could find that was suitable for me after I had my legs amputated.
Out of all my blind group of friends, and I'm sure one of them will correct me after listening to this, but I do believe that I was the only blind person I knew at the time with a job during university. And the only reason I had a job was because it was in a Braille production centre. So I was proofreading Braille books, very niche. And it was literally 5 minutes away from where I went to university. It just all fell into place for me. You know, it wasn't like I was this massive go-getter who trawled the city for a job. It sort of landed in my lap.
Well,
and
you're lucky. I went to the local volunteer bureau and they couldn't find anything for me to even volunteer
Nothing.
At. That felt bad. But this is interesting, you know, opportunities. It's hard sometimes to admit it, but disabled people have fewer opportunities, don't they? So I wonder, going around the table, we have two blind people and someone with what do you call yourself? An amputee? Is that the we can
I think
say
that's that? The official title, You're isn't it nowadays?
Amputee.
She's called Kathleen, actually.
She's called Kathleen.
I'm a double below knee amputee.
Yeah. Let's start with you, Kathleen. What percentage of jobs do you think you could go for now?
Oh, out of all the jobs that exist?
It's a tough question.
It's a very tough question.
Let me put it in perspective. As a blind person, I reckon something like 10% of jobs.
Really? I could go for more than that, but the physicality of a number of jobs, and often the physicality that you don't even expect. So you could perhaps take a job and then realise, actually, this is going to require me to walk around a lot. And then that added pressure becomes difficult because unless you're extremely confident, I think confidence is what we hear a lot around job opportunities and disability. And even the networking, as a disabled person, networking takes a lot of confidence. I've spoken to wheelchair users in the past who say, I'm just nervous. Why would I want to go somewhere in my wheelchair and go up to somebody who I'm nervous about talking to anyway? And I don't know what they're going to think at all. And even that piece that we ran last week or the week before about employment, there's a lot of nerves around networking and employment for disabled people.
And that kind of cuts down the number of jobs that they apply for or that they feel like they can do?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You have to feel like you're in the running. You have to feel like you're one of the potential gang who could do a certain job. And that's all about confidence, isn't it? Which is interesting. I've often thought that there do need to be specifically tailored courses out there for disabled people on confidence and networking together. I think it would be a very useful thing to do. So anybody out there listening? We'd be very interested to hear if you're doing those things or if you want to do those things.
Gap in the market there.
Get in touch. ouch@bbc.co.uk. Tell us what you're doing. So on Ouch coming up soon in the next few weeks, we have a story of a wheelchair user going around China. And we have a story about a male. Do you want to say about this, Kathleen? A fella who has eating disorders.
Yes. So this is Ryan Branson. He's an American guy with cerebral palsy. And when he was younger, he got anorexia nervosa. And he actually says that part of the reason that he developed this eating disorder was because of his disability and the way that he was made to feel as a disabled man growing up.
Yep, so interesting stuff coming up on Ouch. In the meantime, we're going to disappear. We'll be back next week and there will be an Ouch talk show next week. You can get in touch with us by emailing ouch@bbc.co.uk. You can get in touch with me personally. I'm at Damon Rose.
I'm at Emma J. Tracy.
I'm at cat_b_Hawkins.
And Emma, this is your last
one. This is my last Inside Out for now.
Long farewell.
We've only been doing it a few weeks and you're going already.
I know, bad timing.
We're
going to
miss Emma at Ouch so much.
Maybe I should just keep the little fella inside of me for another while so I can do a few more Inside Ouches. Or maybe not.
You'll just have to keep coming in and seeing us.
Yeah. Don't worry, you won't get rid of me that easily.
Emma's having a baby. Did we establish that?
Yeah, we did a couple of podcasts ago.
Good, right, okay.
We need those dulcet Irish tones.
Well, you know.
That's it. We'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening.
Bye.